Some things shouldn't be transparent, like stop signs. But what you pay for should always be clear, like Hiller's True Transparency Pricing, always clearly itemized and never any hidden fees. Because you have the right to know what you're paying for. For more information, visit happyhiller.com/truetransparencypricing. Happy you'll be, or the service is free.
Call the Happy Face Truck today.
Now, 104.5 The Zone drops the puck on Nashville Predators Hockey Talk. This is the Neutral Zone, presented by Lion Zone, with Christopher and Darren Martell from the Sports Station, 104.5 The Zone.
Welcome into the Neutral Zone, powered by Lion Zone on 104.5 The Zone. Christopher Martell from Fox Sports, alongside Darren Martell from PP Township, Ohio. At Neutral Zone 104.5.
I don't get it.
PP Township, Ohio.
That sounds like a little 5-year old name. What do you want to name it, little Timmy? PP Township. Well, that's great. Well, he's going to be our next mayor too.
Hey, it's not like the Alaska city that has a cat for a mayor.
Which one? Are you serious?
Yeah, like he's been mayor for like 15 years. I'm not even kidding you.
You can't do that.
Hey, they said he doesn't raise taxes. He doesn't do anything. He's just a good mayor.
He just cleans himself and,
hey, you know. Hey, sometimes that's all you need is a cat as a mayor.
His cat box.
At Neutral Zone 104.5 on Twitter is the show handle. You can feel free to call in at 615-737-1045 at any point throughout the show. That's our number here. This week, our favorite plays, our favorite Preds plays of all time.
Yes.
Of all time. And I'm sure I've done forgotten a few. There's a couple I couldn't pull just because I couldn't remember the exact dates they happened.
We'll still talk about them.
Yeah, we'll leave them as like honorable mentions or something.
Just because you couldn't remember the date, they don't get into the list.
Well, maybe.
Very discriminatory.
How is that discriminatory?
Because
are you just making up words at this point?
That's a real word.
We're not even 5 minutes into the show, and you're just making up random sentences.
That's a real word. Discriminatory is a real word.
Well, good for discriminatory.
I mean, I was making up words.
You're making up stuff.
Wow.
In general.
Get on with your life.
Yeah. Twitter questions and more. We got a couple Twitter questions we'll need to answer. We'll get to that, but, you know, since we're going to be doing this all show, let's just go ahead and dive in. I don't want to start directly on list. Let's talk about some of the ones that probably weren't going to make our list. I think one of the ones that comes to mind for me, and this was a good one, is because I was I was sitting, and I've been to 95% of games.
Yeah, I'd say so.
Since 2002, I've been to like 95% of them because what
94.3.
We got free tickets for like how many years?
At least a decade.
No, I don't think it was that long. Was it?
It had to be. The good thing about
From 2004 on.
We became so spoiled with those tickets that if they weren't lower bowl,
we got mad.
That was it. No, our dad would literally, if it didn't say like lower bowl or club section, what is he doing? This is not fair.
He would get a little upset. Well, we were lucky. Our dad had a couple acquaintances who, back in the day when comps were a thing that they gave to like 30% of the people in the arena, he had the connection that always had a pair of tickets for us, or actually always had four tickets for us for almost every home game.
Well, see, and growing up too, I've gone from being the spoiled kid who's like, oh, it's a hockey game, to a pretty hard Predators fan who appreciates just getting a seat in the building. I don't care if it's section 332 or down in the lower bowl.
Nowadays, it's hard to get into the building. Yeah, yes. It's very difficult. But back when we started going, it was super easy to get to the building. Sometimes you could pay as little as like $5-$10 just to get a ticket.
Now, they used to have a place inside what was used to be just the Nashville Arena, then Gaylord, and then Somme or something like that.
I think it went... Nashville, then it went Gaylord.
And Somme, then back
then
to Gaylord.
Then back to Gaylord, and then Bridgestone.
But they used to have
back to Nashville Arena.
Yes.
And then Bridgestone.
But they used to have, this is a tradition we used to do, they had a restaurant in the tower, that spotlight tower called Sam Boney's.
That's not where it was
first. Yes, it was.
That's not the first location.
Where was it at then?
The first location was over where AJ's Good Time Bar is on Broadway.
No, I thought we went. The only ones I remember were up in the tower.
In the tower. You didn't go with us, with me and Dad.
Excuse me.
The very first location was right beside the barbecue place across the corner.
It was a hidden place.
No. What is the barbecue place on the corner at Broad?
Jack's Barbecue.
No. That's down the road on the left.
Rippy's. Okay.
It was literally to the right of Rippy's on Broadway, which is, I think it's now AJ's Good Time Bar, or it's Mellow Mushroom. It's one of the two.
Still, but, I think I like the ambiance of nobody knows it's in that tower. Man. It was a secret best pizza place.
You missed it. When it was beside Rippy's, it was like an actual pizzeria. It was the coolest. Mm. You went with us. You were there one time.
I don't remember going into the restaurant.
Because we sat there and ate that 21-inch pizza in Samboni's that one night.
Saw the Predators probably lose that night, too.
Well, it doesn't matter. The pizza was all that really counted, you know?
It didn't feel so good after
the loss. It was the biggest pizza I've ever eaten in my life.
Well, be that as it may, those are like early Nashville Predators games. Like, there's some nostalgia there you got to take from that.
Sometimes I didn't really care about the game. I just wanted to go to Samboni's.
Well, the first memory I have was back in 99. We went to a game. There's a Boston Bruins fan who was standing up yelling. He got hit in the head with a plastic Coke cup. Filled with Coke, and that's the first memory I have of a Nashville Predator.
I don't remember going in 99. So did we go in 99?
Yeah, we went from, like, we didn't go the first
year. I don't think I went to that game.
I remember 99 because it was after, I think, our church first opened.
Then you may have went. Okay. My first game was not till 2002 because I remember the game I went to, Andreas Johansson had a hat trick.
How did you become the sports guy then?
I only missed, what, 3 years?
That's three big years.
They sucked for all three of them, so, I mean, it's not a big deal.
That's very mean.
It's true.
We're talking about best moments. For me, that was one of my best moments, of seeing a Bruins fan.
I mean, the very first game that I ever went to, I saw a hat trick. So how can you not get hooked on hockey after seeing a hat trick in your first game?
I'm going to digress. And I was going to say, I appreciate the value of the ticket now going into the 300
section. Oh, no, yeah. No, I agree with that. Because if you look at the ticket cost 10, 15 years ago. Mm-hmm. Compared to the ticket costs now.
I don't want to talk about it.
No, I mean, seriously.
I can't even afford a ticket.
You could get in for less than 10 bucks. You could get a ticket for less than 10. You could seriously drop a 20 and have a pair of decent seats in the upper bowl.
Well, basically, you were watching Sesame Street live on ice.
Oh, gosh. No. After 2004, it wasn't Sesame Street live.
But before that.
It was Sesame Street Live.
No, but
yes.
See, one of the big things that Predators, that they still do, I'm not sure if it's as good, but the college nights. I used to enjoy
college nights.
There's a lot of cheap and free beer.
They still have college nights. Okay. Still there. Still
I don't remember those nights. But
I've been covering the team. This will be my ninth. No. 2011.
Time flies.
2011 in the playoffs were my first games I covered.
Time flies.
And then I covered it in 2012 and on, so this will be my 8th full season.
Mm-hmm.
That's nuts. When you look at in terms of what we were able to experience from now, from all the games we've been to, that's what we're talking about, our favorite plays. And I think a lot of it mirrors what a lot of the input that we received from fans and other folks on Twitter.
Mm-hmm.
So, that's a good question. We'll save that question for later in the show. I just got another question on Twitter.
Okay.
Yeah. Oh, that's a really good question.
All right.
So we'll save that one to later in the show. But let's go ahead and talk about some of these plays. Of course, one of the ones that comes up to me, and this is getting, before we start our list, one of the ones that comes up to me is I was sitting front row behind the Sharks bench. Because there was that guy who sold tickets across from Bridgestone Arena.
Okay.
On, like, beside Rippy's.
Which one? There's like 100 of them.
Well, I know. There's a whole, it was,
there's a slew of them.
Honestly, it was probably the only, I mean, I don't remember his name.
Let's call him Rick.
Well, let's call him Rick. But Rick sold, he always had a pair of glass seats and they were always behind the opposing team bench. And I could get them for usually between 25 to 50 bucks a ticket.
That's a steal.
But that's back in the day when tickets were easy to come by.
True.
So I got them for one night a game against the Sharks. Preds were down, I want to say 2-1, 3-2, something like that.
Okay.
And they tied the game, and then less than 2 minutes to go, Colin Wilson gets the puck, comes down, scores the game winner, and that was that. The only reason I really remember it is because I went back and watched the television feed, and they caught me dancing a little jig behind the Sharks bench like a stupid idiot.
Is it the classic Martell jig?
Yes, it is exactly what it is.
Oh, geez.
So, yeah, but let's go ahead and let's dive into some of these plays, some of our favorites. That we have listed so far The first off, this comes from 2009, and it's probably one of my favorite fights of all time for the Preds.
Yes, here we go. Brashear and Belak. This is a heavyweight matchup. Donald Brashear, 6'2", 225. Wade Belak, 6'4", 225. As they go at it right now, very short punches right to the button. Whoa. And Brashear staggered. Whoa. By a big left. Whoa. Hand by Wade Belak. I Whoa. Never recall seeing Donald Brashear staggered or buckled like that.
Well, I have never, Pete. And we mentioned it, Donald Brashear is one tough customer.
And now if you watched that fight, now this is,
whoa,
yeah, no, I'm serious, man. That reaction from Crispy,
well, he
was genuine.
He was one of the big fighters.
Brashear always was. Him and George LaRocque were like the two biggest fighters.
Yeah.
But when Brashear drops the gloves, he literally tells the other guy, all right, good luck. It's going to be, good luck. Have a good fight. And it's always, it's like two boxers going at
it's
it.
Clean,
hey,
it's,
touch
it's
gloves.
Even. Let's
it's
go.
Good. And, Wade Belak never hesitated to drop the gloves to people. And some people didn't want to drop the gun. It's understandable because Belak was a heavyweight. God rest his soul. He was a heavyweight.
Yes.
But when he dropped the gloves against Brashear in 2009, it took about three or four punches, and then he landed a button right on Brashear's chin. And Brashear crumbled to the ice. I have never seen a fight. Okay, there has never been a Predators fight like that. And I don't ever think we'll ever see another one like that.
Okay.
Even the one that's on your list, I don't
think.
That's
not even a fight. That's just a spur of the moment.
That's a cold cloth is what that is.
A cold cloth. No, but see, that reminds me. It had to be one of those golden eye sounds.
Oh, no. I mean, he nailed him right on the chin, dude. It was a perfect hit. Perfect one-punch knockout.
Ding dong down. Yeah.
Well, it was more like five punches. Five-punch knockout.
Okay,
yeah.
That's a little different than one-punch knockout.
Yes,
okay,
yes.
Well.
I don't think we're going to be able to get to all these in the first set. But that's
no,
good.
No, of course
that's
not.
Good. You always do this. We all do this. Let's go ahead to the next one. This was Game 3, Detroit, 2004, first ever playoff series. And let me tell you why I put this one on the list.
This was in Nashville.
This was in Nashville. Okay. I was at the game.
We both were.
It was.
Yes. It was me, you, and Dad.
Okay.
Okay,
we were four rows from the ice. You remember that? We were four rows from
Different
the ice.
Game then. Than it was just
okay.
You and Dad. Okay,
that's what I thought. You big dummy! I knew
no,
you weren't there.
How am I a big dummy? I just
because you said you thought
I was
you
at
remembered.
Game four then.
Okay, you were at game four.
Okay.
Anyways, game three, me and Dad, four rows from the ice. I kid you not. In all the games I've been to, all the games I've covered as a member of the press, all the games I went to as a fan before that, I have never heard the building as loud as it was that night. And I actually, that's a lie. One time I have heard the building that loud. And it's one of our clips from later on in the show. But up till about a few years ago, I'd never heard the building that loud.
Okay.
And to start the game, I couldn't hear Dad. Dad was right beside me.
Yeah.
Right beside me. And he was saying words to me, and I could not hear the words coming out of his mouth. That's how loud it was.
You check your hearing then.
And then this happened. This play happened. Shorthanded goal. Let's just let the audio go from here.
All right.
Back for Whitney. A shot through traffic, blocked by Legwon. Back to Whitney, looking for Yzerman. That pass is broken up and set up the ice by Mark Eaton.
They need Ray Whitney to lock that up.
Here's a steal, Legwon. Shorthanded scores! David Legwon!
Just an absolute
back to Whitney.
But just an absolute beautiful shorthanded goal. It was one that it gave Preds fans hope.
Intensified by playoff atmosphere.
And it did. And the Preds were able to tie that series. They lost in six, though, but it was just a wonderful first trip to the playoffs.
It was a taste of what could happen and what would happen eventually.
We've got a handful more to get to before we get to our best playoff overtime goals.
Right.
And that'll take up later in the hour. So we're going to get to those, but let me tell you a little bit about the folks at Lion's Own. Have you ever wanted to get your business to the next level? Have you watched your sales sputter and customer count plateau? Maybe you need a boost in the right direction. Maybe you need a website. Maybe you need some advertising. Let me tell you, you need Lion's Own. They've been around since 1999. They're a results-driven digital advertising agency that can do everything from lead generation, social, mobile, email marketing, websites, hosting, graphic design, digital advertising, and more. Whether you're looking to grow big or small, the great folks at Lion's Own have your back and will get you where you need to go. Give them a call at 615 353-0402 or visit them online at www.lionzone.com. Lionzone, Nashville's leading internet marketing agency since 1999 and title sponsor of the Neutral Zone. After the break, we talk more about our favorite plays and favorite moments of the over the last 20 years, and we also get to playoff overtime moments as well. Those are a lot of fun. This is the Neutral Zone, powered by Lions on a 104.5 The Zone. Welcome back to the Neutral Zone, powered by Lions on 104.5 The Zone, at Neutral Zone 104.5 on Twitter. Christian Martell alongside Darren Martell here in the studio, 615-737-1045. You want to share your favorite moment all time for the Preds, because I'm pretty sure we'll have a lot of them on our list.
Two questions.
Why don't ask about the music choices.
The dance.
Don't ask about the music choices, Mr. I want Tina Turner for every music choice.
Folks, we were listening. We're talking about.
Don't folks these people.
No, we're talking about.
Don't folks these people.
I just did. And they're going to listen. We're talking about the best moments in Predators history. The best moments.
You know what this song is called?
Simply the Best by Tina Turner would have been a perfect choice.
You know what this song is called?
Something Cowboy.
No, the song is called The Get Up, as in get up out of your seat and you can cheer for the goal.
Because I'm sure everyone's thinking
okay.
That.
All right.
No,
there you go.
You had to think like
tons of fun. All
really,
right.
That's not fair.
We're going to go ahead and move on now.
All right.
Now, this goal. This was a fun goal because I have to admit, it's probably one of the funniest goals that I think I've ever seen in my life.
This goal for me solidified the fact that the Preds were going to win that series. It was just so bad.
I agree.
It was so bad. It was like, how can a team? It was a dynasty team like the.
I know, and it was game four, and the Preds. The game was tied.
Still
it was tied.
Rival.
It was late in the third period.
They were still the arch rival.
At this point in time, we didn't know if this team was going to tie it up and bring the series back in game five, tied 2-2. Or if Nashville was going to bring the series back 3-1 with a chance to clinch it at home.
Seemed like an
impossibility. This play right here had Martin Erat dragging four players to the corner.
Four elderly players.
Four elderly players to the corner. With the upcoming guy converting it, let's go ahead and listen in.
Now a burst of speed for Erat. Throws it in front of him, and they score! After Hudler hits the post, the Predators come back, and they have regained the lead at 2-1.
Right there. It was perfect because Martin Erat had four Detroit Red Wings players following him. Kevin Klein skated directly up to the goal. Erat passed it back.
It was perfect.
Klein put it in. It was perfection. Yeah.
I remember watching that at your place and just watching that. We were just like, what?
I just facepalmed. I was like, if you're a Red Wings fan, you've got to be kidding me. Oh,
that's
my
That's when you
gosh.
Go back to the fact that this team was the dynasty, the arch rival of the Nashville Predators. And for that play to happen, it was pretty much a passing of the torch, I feel.
I thought so.
For, okay, it's your time to start moving forward.
Yep.
We're old. Oh, look, Martin Erat has Ensure and prune juice. Let's go follow him.
Martin Erat. Oh, what a wonderful player. Yes.
Yeah,
speaking of Martin Erat, he is also in our next play. This was game three of a series against the Blackhawks. And in this game, this solidified Nashville's first ever lead in a series.
Yeah.
Not just that, but like two games prior, they had won their first ever road game and first ever game one.
History
was
made.
It was being written the entire series until they fell apart in game five.
Oh, I was on my way to work during that game.
I was at home watching the rains come up close to my house.
Oh.
So, yeah, the floodwaters, yeah. So, let's go ahead and play this one. This is a penalty shot against Antti Niemi. It's fantastic. I mean, I remember that was the game that, you know, I had recorded that one.
Yeah.
And that was the one where you were dancing and we were on the opposite end of the ice. Remember that one?
Yep.
All right. Yeah. So that was probably one of my last seasons as being able to watch the games
just
as a fan.
Yeah. Well, that's the thing. The next game, the Predators get out there and it in a span of 45 seconds. I'm at work actually listening to this on a radio, a little earpiece with the radio and I'm come on, guys, just hold it out. Hold it out for 45 seconds and the tie and then the overtime goal. And I'm like, that's it. Series is over.
That's game five.
That's
yep.
It.
Yep.
I lost all hope.
I didn't think they were coming back. Well, they didn't come back. Yeah. And I think, you know, looking at these kind of games, it's always fun to watch how history was built for this particular team.
It's
fun
to actually look at the small factors. Like, you look at a team now that's won a Western Conference championship, that's won two division titles and a President's Trophy. They have one big one left to win. But looking back, and you see how excited the fans were back then just for a shootout goal, and you just see a whole group of fans that think they just won the cup.
We have, speaking of winning a series, getting there and taking it to the next level, this is number five in my list. And it was the defining moment of the Western Conference Final against the Anaheim Ducks back in 2016-17. Colton Sissons, man of the hour, hat trick. Colton Sissons,
man of the night.
Yeah, this was the game winning goal from Colton Sissons, game six.
Sissons in over the line, trying to walk through, bounces down, Yarncroft gets it across, scores. Sissons.
One timer.
I'll be honest. I think that was one of the moments where it breached decibel capacity.
Mm-hmm.
There's only a handful of moments in this arena, in Bridgestone Arena history, where it has breached, actually, like, where you could have physical damage to your eardrums.
You have to also appreciate the fact that there's 17,000 plus fans there, all thinking the same thing.
Just score and get us to the next level, Blake.
No, but it's been a tight game. Anaheim controlled the game most of the time.
You've never lost to the Ducks in the playoffs.
Don't do it here. So that goal goes in, and for the first time in that series,
everybody in the arena could deflate. Yes, and it was just like a breath.
But for the first
and exhale,
time,
yes,
the not only the Stanley Cup was closer in reach, but the first piece of hardware was in reach.
Did I tell you where my seat was for that game? Like, I was sitting, I was in the press row. But here's the thing: is they had to have extra rows for the press because there were so many people there.
Okay,
I was in the very front row of 311, so I had the perfect view. I was literally at center ice. I had a perfect view of the ice. Oh, it was amazing! Absolutely amazing! We got a couple more to get to, and then we'll get to the rest after the break. Let's go ahead. This is one of my favorites here. National Predators were down 5-2 against the Blue Jackets. That was the game where Jeff Carter had the major power play hat trick and scored like three goals. They were up 5-2. And then the Preds ceremoniously came back and just ramshotted the Blue Jackets in the third period.
As they usually do.
Highlighted by this goal with 8.4 seconds to go.
Suter. Here's Erod, walks in, scores! 8.4 seconds left! And the Predators have the lead.
That was a entertaining
game.
That's
magic.
Now, that's four goals. I mean, that's four goals they scored in just a span of about a period and a half. You know, and that's
determination.
Well, that's also them
you don't lose
having,
to the Blue Jackets.
Well, them having Columbus's number for almost 20 years.
That's true.
So that was always entertaining. There's a couple things we really don't have audio for, like Philip Forsberg's back-to-back hat tricks.
I've got a question for you, just really quick. Sure. As a media person,
uh-huh,
how hard is it to not be unbiased, to be impartial during games?
Well, let me tell you, there's two aspects. There's two sides of that. It took me about a year or two to actually get it out of my system.
Okay.
The only time, I'm dead serious, the only time I have found myself cheering is since I got hired back by Fox. And let me tell you why. It's because I can.
Yeah.
I can because I'm doing social media for the team. Well, doing it for Fox Sports.
So you kind of have to be excited.
I have to be excited for it. So the only time I've been caught, the only time I have physically been caught probably getting overly excited in the press box was the triple overtime goal. And that was, I mean, how can you not? You're a human being. But I didn't get overly excited at Arvidsson's goal the next night. I didn't. Or the like 2 nights later, I was like, okay, that was quick.
It's
Let's go.
It's hard to beat that.
Yeah. So we'll talk more about those playoff overtime goals here in the next segment. We'll get to those. This is the Neutral Zone, powered by Lions on a 104.5 The Zone.
Business owners and professionals.
Welcome back to the Neutral Zone, powered by Lions on a 104.5 The Zone at Neutral Zone 104.5 on Twitter. Christopher Martell alongside Darren Martell here in the studio. 615-737-1045 is our number. We got a couple more of these top plays to get to. Then we're going to get to our playoff overtime goal favorites. Not a huge selection to choose from, but we've narrowed it down pretty well.
Yeah.
And then after that, we'll do some Twitter questions and get out of here. What do you say, Darren?
I like that. Maybe the music choices could be a little bit better.
No.
What was that last one?
It was Mac Miller.
Dum, da-dum, dum, dum,
da-da-da-da. Oh, my gosh. You are uncultured.
Okay. Well, I am very cultured. There,
another one we didn't have audio for was Chris Mason recording a goal April 15, 2006, and that was on accident.
Whoopsie.
That's because the Coyotes knocked it into their own net, but the last player to touch the puck was Mason. So he got credited for
the
goal.
That's not fair.
But so I want to get to this one. This one, of course, is going to go down in the annals of Preds history as one of the most famous sequences for the team.
Okay.
They still lost the series, but the fact that they were able to do this in 9 seconds was absolutely unreal. It's probably one of my favorite memories of that, this pre-2010 Predators going back to that. So let's play this one. Two goals, 9 seconds apart.
22. That outstanding job, 5-on-5.
Late man.
Suter, a goal. He scores.
In a 3-2 game, you've got to make that stop.
Here's Arden with a chance. He scores.
I remember. I'll be honest.
Yeah.
Full disclosure. I had to sit down because I felt like I was going to start crying after the second goal. I mean, because it was so much, it was a buildup of so much emotion.
Oh, yeah, of course.
Two goals, 9 seconds in the playoffs to take a 3-2 lead with a minute or like 2 minutes left to go.
That's when hope started to come back and wait, this could turn around.
And then they won game four with a shutout.
Yeah.
They go up to game five, lose in overtime, and they come back in game six and get whomped by that wacky Lidstrom goal from center ice.
And this was in 08?
This was in 2008, I believe.
I was at the watch party at the arena during that game five.
I remember. We were there.
The fans were there. So confident. Oh, this is it. This is the year.
And the fact that they got to overtime, we were just like, all right, all you need is one goal now. And then they got hosed by the
– We meant the Predators, not the Red Wings.
Yeah. It was rough. We got one more to play. Which one's it going to be, Darren? I know you picked one.
Want a special mention is the 2-2 versus Robot. There's no play
that's
in that
a special.
Clip.
It's a good special
but
mention.
I remember being there because you saw it on YouTube the next day.
Yeah.
And people were like, no, that was a cheap shot. No, it wasn't. He defended himself. Robot was clearly charging him.
I think you could clearly call it both ways. It really was.
If you
dude,
were Jordan,
he sucked him with his gloves on. Okay.
If you are Jordan 2-2 and you turn around after making a clean check on Mike Modano and you see Stefan Robidoux charging
the point.
You,
that's not just, the point.
You say, okay, hit me.
No, but you can't just go ahead and cold clock the guy, Darren.
It's not. It's human
it's
instinct.
It's against the rules.
Human instinct. I do it in Kroger all the time.
Okay. You cold clock people in Kroger?
To the old lady.
You play the knockout game in Kroger,
to the old
Darren?
Lady who cut me in line.
That's
just,
not nice.
Punch
so
her right
so what are we going with here?
We're going to go with the Pekka diving save Game 3 Western Conference quarterfinals against the Blackhawks 2 years ago. Big momentum keeper there.
All right, let's hear it.
Retrieved by Harbison in the corner. It's banged around. It pops to the middle, and Oduya sends it down.
My stars!
Save by Rene!
Is that the one that bounced off the wall and
Johnny
was going
Oduya.
Into
yeah.
the goal?
Yeah. I remember I was in the club level, and Dad and I were sitting there, and as soon as I saw Oduya hit that, I'm like, of course, this
I remember,
is how it turns around.
I remember, because I was sitting there watching, and then it happened. It bounced off the wall, and I went, oh, no!
But you hear Mason's call, and they're, oh, my stars. What did he really want to say?
Well, everybody knows.
But here's
holy yes.
No, the funny thing about it, you came down at the start of the third period, said they have to score a goal in the first 5 minutes or else the game's over. It was already 2-0 Blackhawks. They scored with 5 minutes into it, I'm like, okay, maybe he's right.
See? No,
but that save, I mean, tell me a goalie that could slinky his spine that way to reach around and just with the corner the paddle, get that puck out of there.
Well, let's talk about playoff overtime goals. Honorable mention. We're going to give an honorable mention here to James Neal for his overtime game winner against the Ducks in game one. Bounced off of Corey Perry's head.
That's the reason.
That was my favorite.
I was going to add that to my list, but I was like, that wasn't legit because as funny as it was.
It was still away. Yeah. Let's go with number four here. This was Kevin Fiala against the Blackhawks in game three, 2017.
Kevin
Fiala. Off to Fiala.
I always find it funny because Stu was, hey.
It's like the guy in the Little Caesars commercial. Like, dun, 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 dun.
I just didn't understand. It was like he got surprised. He didn't want to say, hey.
Somebody ran off with his pizza slice.
Hey, what are you doing?
No, the funny part, I've never seen a 78-year-old man, our father, be as energetic as he was at that goal. It was like he was 20 years.
Really?
Like it was like a time machine. As soon as they scored, he's like, okay, this walk up the hill's going to be great now. Because that's the thing, folks. You had to know our dad because.
Oh, man.
If the Predators lost, we
always used to park at the library parking garage, which used to be like $4, yeah. Okay? And if the Preds lost,
that walk was
it was the worst walk. You couldn't make a noise because if you said hey, shut up. You quit smarting off back there.
No, I just get in the car and just don't talk.
Get in the car.
They're doing nothing. They're just playing around on the ice, and I'm just sick of it. This is the man who would stand up when everyone was sitting down and quiet. Just pass the puck.
And then Dad, the play stopped. Okay, I'm sorry.
It's the flying tiger in the sky, Dad. That's the intermission.
All right, let's get to number three here. This one is a little bit further down on the list, but okay. I think it still deserves a spot.
A history-making.
History-making overtime game winner right here.
Here's Blum. 2-2. In front, Smithson scores! The Predators rush the ice. 1:57 into overtime.
Keeps it in, throws it down deep, and then they just work it towards the front of the net. 2-2 to Smithson, and that's all they wrote. And you talk about fighting each other out there, and of all the blonde you think, looking at this.
I remember I was living in Murfreesboro, I think.
I almost crashed my car after that.
I ran around the room like four times.
Well, I literally ran off the road. Literally, I was on Cage's Bend in Gallatin. And it was that giant curve, if anybody knows, that just it's like almost a 90-degree angle. And then you hear Pete Weber with Smithson scores.
Yeah.
I'm just.
Yeah. Well, let's get to these last two. We'll talk about the number one here in a minute.
Okay.
Number two, this is from 2000. Both these are from 2016.
Yeah.
And both these are from the back-to-back games. Actually, I'm sorry. One's from game six. The other one is from game
three. This one here isn't the duel falling off the bench, is it?
No, that was the number one play. Let's go ahead and get this. This is game six against the Sharks, 2016.
Getting to the red line and playing it deep. Rene sweeps it around. Salamaki on this near side. He'll flip it through center. Bouncing puck in. Onto it. Armitage scores!
The backhand was amazing. I have never seen a more pinpoint backhand shot in the history of watching a Preds team. I've never seen one that precise.
That almost solidified the fact that you could look at him in the next few years and be like, hey, this kid's got something.
I still didn't think he did. I thought a lot of it was luck, yeah. And then in this past season I changed my mind.
He can aim.
He can shoot, and he can aim. And let's go ahead and get the number one. Everybody knows the number one is. Yeah. Everybody knows the number one play is Mike Fisher. Triple overtime. Game winner against the Sharks in game four.
Yossi up off Wilson and in. Martin Jones, who's been stout, plays it into the corner. Braun lost it. Here's a chance. Ekholm. Shot, rebound. Scores. Mike Fisher.
Now I'm going to take a couple minutes to talk about this one because the whole play was ludicrous, if you think about it.
I will say, before you start, I've got to give props to Brent Peterson. That his call on that, the excitement in his voice, the emotion he showed. No, but he just built. And just hearing that on the radio, if you're a fan who wasn't able to watch the game and just listen to it, You just literally, you felt everything he did. That was amazing.
Well, you know, the reason I want to talk about, okay, the whole play was ludicrous. It bounced the puck. Colin Wilson had the puck, okay? It bounced off of the glass. It got back to Ekholm, who shot the puck, and it bounced off of the glove of...
Martin Jones.
No, it wasn't Martin Jones. What Martin Jones?
I thought it was.
No, it wasn't Martin Jones. Hold on.
Definitely wasn't Niemi.
No, it wasn't Niemi. It was...
Not Nabokov.
It wasn't Nabokov either, you ding-dong. Of course it wasn't Nabokov. But it wasn't... I don't think it was Martin Jones.
I believe it was. He's been with the team for a while.
Nabokov
is single-handedly one of the biggest Predators killers for me in the early
2000s. It was Martin Jones. I apologize. You're right.
Am I still a ding-dong?
Yes.
That's not fair.
But anyways, it goes off the glove of Jones.
It's a pinball
machine. And Fisher's literally right there, gets it and puts it in. And I'll be honest with you. Until that moment, I had never heard the building that loud.
Really?
Never heard the building. You could, like, when I left the arena that night, I couldn't hear. I had trouble hearing for like 3 days.
Well, I'll tell you what's ludicrous about all that is game 7. But we're not going to talk about game 7. Do you think Pecorine misses the stick he broke?
Do you think Shea Weber misses the opportunity he had?
Ooh.
Yeah.
Ooh.
Yeah. We'll get to some Twitter questions after this.
He didn't show up for that game. Nobody showed up but Rene.
Twitter questions here upcoming. This is the Neutral Zone, powered by Lions on 104.5 The Zone.
104.5.
Welcome back to the Neutral Zone, powered by Lions on 104.5 The Zone. At Neutral Zone 104.5 on Twitter, Christian Martell alongside Darren Martell here in the studio. 615-737-1045 is our number here. We're going to finish up. Answer some Twitter questions real quick, we'll go from there.
This is not a knock on your music. I will say you've chosen tonight a lot of songs with a heavy slap bass line.
It's good. Bass slapping's awesome, dude.
Really, do you know how to slap a bass? Really?
Sure don't.
Okay, then how can you say it's awesome?
I love hearing it.
That's not acceptable. I don't appreciate that.
Uh-huh.
Well, go ahead with what you're going to do.
All right, well, let's answer some Twitter questions. Actually, talking about some moments for some people that some people brought in on Twitter. They said, of course, Brady said, clearly the one that stands out to me is Fisher goal in 3 overtime against the Sharks. Of course, that's a big one. Another one, Jeff said, without a doubt, one of my without a doubt, one of my favorite plays was Mike Fisher to Arvey in game 4 of the 2017 Stanley Cup final. A pass by Fisher was beautiful.
Yeah.
This question was asked, and I think it's a really good test case scenario for the question in general. So the question asked was, there was a tweet earlier about Chris Mason getting credit for scoring a goal in an opposing own goal. NHL goalies have actually scored a goal?
Aha.
Yeah. So this is the list who have scored a goal in a game.
Is Patrick Waugh on there?
Is Patrick Waugh on there?
Yeah. Because he was notorious for skating far out of his crease.
Patrick Waugh was not on there.
Ah.
But I can tell. Okay, I'm going to let you guess.
Okay.
I want you. Can you name me? Can you name me 5? There are a total of. 1, 2, 3, 4, 5.
I'm probably not going to be able to. 7. Let me give it a try.
10, 11. 11 goaltenders that have scored. Name me 5 of the 11.
Martin Brodeur.
He is on there 3 times.
Okay. Chris Mason.
Of course, we've already talked about him.
Curtis Joseph.
Curtis Joseph is not on there. You get 3 strikes.
Okay. Garth Snow.
Snow is not on there. Man. You have 1 more strike.
Okay.
Thank card.
Dominic Hasek.
He's not on there.
Chris Osgood?
Osgood's
on there. Okay.
I will give you 1 more strike.
1 more strike. Okay. Let's see. Oh, this is tough. This is tough. Glenn Hall.
No. Okay. Here's the list. Billy Smith from the Islanders.
Okay.
Ron Hextall from the Flyers. Hextall had two. Chris Osgood from the Red Wings. Brodeur for the Devils had three.
Do not say Happy Bullen.
Damian Rhodes for the Senators.
Okay.
Jose Theodore from the Canadians.
That's how you pronounce his name. I thought it was Jose.
No, it's Jose.
Jose.
Yeah. Jose. What? Jose. He's not Mexican.
Jose
dude.
Theodore. Jose.
Just like Miroslav Satan, okay? Yes, that's not his name.
Why is Satan on the ice, mommy?
Evgeny Nabokov.
Ugh.
Mika Noronen for the Sabres. Mason for the Preds. Cam Ward for the Hurricanes. And Mike Smith for the Coyotes. Mike Smith was the latest one in 2013. 2013 is the last time.
Oh, we're talking about end-to-end goals just from.
I'm just telling you. I don't know whether. Let me see. 1, 2, 3, 4, 5 of these were played by a defenseman.
Okay.
Like opposition played.
Gotcha.
And the rest of them were scored by the goaltender. Mike Smith scored his at 59-59.
Well.
Yeah. So there you go. There's your answer to that question, Joe. I hope you got that answer. Another one was Matt Scully said in 2001, the Bubba Berenzweig scoring the game winner against the Detroit powerhouse team. That was always fun to watch. Mr. Misconduct says Cody McLeod scoring against his former team in his first game post-trade. That was entertaining against Colorado. I know others have done the same, but it's not like he scored many goals anyways. Also, Joel Ward's goal in the 8-0 game against Detroit was a good one. This question, Joel pointed out a good one. He said the loudest he ever heard the Bridgestone Arena was J.P. Dumont's shorthanded goal against the Sharks in, I believe, 2007 or 2006, one of those two series. I agree. That was an amazing goal. They lost a series in 5, but it was still an amazing goal.
Never beaten the Sharks.
No, they've never beaten the Sharks.
Time is coming.
Christian Wick asked this question. Would the Preds be stupid or genius to extend an offer sheet for Patrick Laine? Darren, what do you think?
Stupid.
Really? Why?
Stay with what you got right now. Why make any more moves? It's getting too close to the
Patrick
season.
Laine!
I don't care.
Okay, well, let's just say for argument's sake, the Preds
did it. Let's just hope Matt Duchene works out. Before you start adding all these other big superstars.
Here's the first problem with this. Is the Preds have $1.3 million in cap space.
They don't have the money.
I'm pretty sure Patrick Laine won't go over $1.3 million.
They can take out a credit card, can't they?
No, they can't go over the cap. That's not Major League Baseball,
just
Darren.
Just charge my room.
Patrick Laine is coming off his ELC, his rookie contract. And this was he made $925,000 for 3 years.
A lot of money.
A lot of money for a guy who was a 50, 70, and 64-point scorer in 3 consecutive seasons. 50 points in each of the last 3 seasons.
You're talking to a fan who just wishes he could make that much money a year.
So here's my thing. Would it be genius for them to do it? Well, I mean, if they had the money, sure. But here's the problem.
There are other aspects you got to look at.
I mean, would you rather, if the Preds had the funds to do it, would you rather offer sheet Patrick Laine or would you rather offer sheet Mitch Marner?
Mitch Marner.
Yes. I think that would be the one I would go with. Mitch Marner seems like the higher talent right there. Just in my opinion, that is.
That's a disappointing sigh.
Well, you know, I look at it and I say, you know, they just don't have the money. Yeah. You know, it's unrealistic. So
they spent their allowance.
Upcoming next couple of weeks, couple changes coming about. The show's going to be from 9 to 10 p.m. until late December. Of all calls is coming back on the air. So we get pushed to 9 to 10. It's A-okay. You can still listen to us, catch a podcast on the replay if you don't want to. And then from next week, we're going to take a little bit of a break. We're going to take a little bit of a break. Yeah. Next week, we're going to take a week off.
Oh, fine.
Darren, we've run out of stuff to talk.
You didn't have to say that out loud.
Next week, we're going to take the week off next week. We'll be back in 2 weeks. We'll start getting prepped for the season, guys. Cause when we come back
around the corner,
when we come back, it'll be 2.5 weeks until the rookie camp starts. Yeah. It's here, folks. It's
here.
2 weeks. We'll see you at 9 p.m. here on 104.5 The Zone. For Darren, at Tinnerman 87. Ryan Albies at Rock and Rudy 105.3. Myself at KMartell _ Sports. You can get the show at Neutral Zone 104.5. This is the Neutral Zone, powered by Line Zone on 104.5 The Zone.